हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, in the aspect on the gopis, then we see that for Krishna, it's that mood of affection, that mood of surrender, because as we see that Krishna mentioned that he had one last test, and if they passed that, then he is delivering himself to them. So that's why then he's expecting surrender, because he is willing to offer surrender. Right? So it's not about, but conjugal rasa means that it's in that medium of conjugal activities and the moods and how they deal and converse and things like that. But it's not about that. He doesn't have an interest in that, because we have to remember it is him anyway. The feminine nature is him, so it's not like it's something new. Right? Because we see when Krishna comes as a girl, like as Mohini, you know, he's more bewildering than anybody. Lord Shiva sits there with his wife all day, he's cool, no problem. But when Krishna comes as Mohini, he just puts his wife down and then goes running after Mohini, right? So that's the whole point, is that, therefore, the feminine beauty, the feminine nature that the girls have is coming from Krishna anyway. So that's not the attractive feature. It's not that Krishna wants to see the girls with no clothes. He wants to see the surrender of these girls. Right? And so, by the medium they're working in, then clothes have something to do with it. But it's the mood of surrender. So that's why it said the gopis, their mood is the highest of all the devotees. They're considered the best. Everyone reveres the gopis. So that's, we have to catch that part. It's these secondary aspects are there. And then the whole science of how it's expressed is there. But the point is it's about the devotion which is being offered. Right? As we move into this and understanding rasa, and its different ingredients. It's not about the ingredients. It's about the love that's being expressed through these ingredients. Right? Does that make sense? Like in cooking, there's so many ingredients, but it's not about the ingredients, it's about the cooking. Yes?
So in this case, we can say that the gopis, they went through the maximum amount of obstacles to show their surrender.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that their surrender is more than Mother Yashoda or the cowboys, because they didn't go through those kind of obstacles.
No, but it's still the intensity of the rasa is greater, because Mother Yashoda and doing whatever she does, or the cowherd boys and doing whatever they do, they're not breaking any religious principles.
Yeah.
But with the gopis, we see is that Krishna's pushing them beyond the religious principles. But it's perfectly in line with the religious principles, if you consider that religious principles are to be connected to him for his pleasure. But in the parental ras, the friendship ras, you don't generally have to do that. Though you see Mother Yashoda breaks to some degree some points of etiquette and this and that. But the gopis, then, it's a very major aspect. But then, it's perfectly connected to Krishna, so in that way, nothing has been transgressed. Does that make sense? In other words, it's, let's say, the son is having a difficulty and is in danger, is it a problem for the mother to go running forward no matter what's going on and try to get to the kid? No. But it is a sign of great affection. Right? But for the girls, their shyness, this and that, then they have to go beyond that. Right? It's still within the context of the conjugal relationship that they're expressing it in, but the point is that's why it says the surrender of the gopis is actually more than the others. That's why it's considered the highest. Because, as we mentioned before, is all the ingredients of rasa that make up the bhavas of all the other rasas, that is, they would call it their stai bhava. All those things that they're stai bhava, and therefore then what's going to be manifest from that, are already, they're already sanchari bhavas within the madhurya rasa. And then they're just qualities. So the madhurya rasa is the one that owns these qualities. Because it being the adi rasa, it's the original source of all these qualities. Then they're being manifest, you know, in the concept of parental, then a little less intense within friendship, a little less intense in servitorship, and then, you know, how you say it, you know, in its very straightforward way in Shanta. Does this make sense? So it's in a different category. So we're bringing all these up, but it should be understood the surrender of the gopis is the topmost. That's what makes it there. It's not that, it's not the mechanics of it. It's not the secondary attributes of it that we're taking. Is that makes it the highest, right? Because the same ornaments that the gopis wear, Mother Jashoda wears. The same, if they wear a sari, she wears a sari. If they wear ankle bells, she wears ankle bells. They put on kajal, she puts on kajal. So you know, that's not the point. You know, does that make sense?
So can we say that qualitatively and quantitatively they are the highest on both?
Yes, on this, what we're looking at here, we're trying to bring that out. But at the same time, is when it comes to the lila, you don't make any distinction. When the lila is running, the gopis are the younger girls. So even though that means these ones are unmarried, so they're on the bottom of the pile in the female society. But then the next rung up that are married, so Srimati Radharani and the others, they're married. So then now they're considered, you know, big girls. They're married women. But they'll be junior of the married women. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then the parental ras will be prominent there. It's not that, hey, we're conjugal ras, butt out, you know? You know, it's like that. You know? They don't do that. We do that. But they don't do that. You know? Does that make sense? So everything balances in very perfectly. And then the cowherd boys, they're there, even though they're a superior Ross, they're wary of them. They stay out of their way, you know. They see too much, they talk too much. Right? Who's telling Mother Jashoda and all the elders in Vrindavan all the pastimes of Krishna that go on in the forest?
Boys.
Right. So do you want the boys to see anything? No, they talk. You know, so yes, and so they just stay out of their way. Does that make sense? So therefore, even though it's the highest, it appears as the one that's the most restricted of anything. The cowherd boys can come in the morning when Krishna first wakes up, before his bath and that, and help with the cows. They can even be there and help with him getting dressed. Then they can be there when he takes breakfast. Then after breakfast, when they're all going out to the fields, they go with Krishna there. And then he comes back in the evening. They can come to the house in the evening and also take part in the evening program there. So basically, except when Krishna's asleep at night, then technically, according to their position, they can be with Krishna. Right? The servants also can come in at most any time, but they won't be all the time with Krishna. The parental, then the morning and the evening, that's their time, and then the cowherd boys can be part of it, and this and the gopis can come and take part in it. They can help with the cooking or bathing Krishna, like this and that. So by volume of time, the cowherd boys can be there technically more. It's not there's their time. Right? When they go out in the morning till they come back in the evening, that's their time. And even that gets split up because it's they go out in the morning and then there's the Radha Kund pastimes and then they come back in the evening. So basically, time-wise, the gopis in one sense get more time. You know, by what's allotted to them. But what things the cowherd boys can take part in is greater. It's not their time at Mother Jashoda's house in the morning and evening, but they can take part. Some of the cowherd boys can even take part when he in his pastimes at Radha Kund. You know, nobody else is there at the night pastimes. Is that?
Yeah.
So, when it comes to how the pastime runs, you don't make a distinction that one's higher than the other. But at the same time, one is higher than the other. You know, it's like Radha and Krishna are non-different, but they're different. So here Krishna is bringing out their surrender. That's why then he makes all these nice arrangements. So then when the time comes, as we'll get to, when he sees that now it's perfect for addressing this aspect of reciprocating with the gopis according to their surrender, then we have the pastimes of the rasa dance. Does that make sense? Yeah? Good. Yes.
Like gopis are part of traditional society, so for them to like leave husband, leave their duties, go to Palamo, this is the great obstacles to them. Like they have many obstacles. The nowadays society, it's very easy for one to leave husband, leave Palamo. So it's actually much more surrender if somebody endeavors to follow the proper culture.
Means only if you follow, then giving up has a meaning. You know what I'm saying? If I don't have money, giving up money is not a big deal. It means it's something that's done, but I can't take great credit for it. So like you said, is we follow the rules. Because the point is in Vrindavan, they're following the rules. But the rules are secondary to the primary aspect. You know? So following the rules is actually the principle. Because rules then give results. You don't follow rules, there's no results. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, okay, we want to make sweet rice, okay? So, 16 part milk, 1 part rice, right? And then you end up with a very nice sweet rice, okay? Unless you're doing charu, then you're going to cook the rice down to half, and then you're going to put 1/16 of that. So it'll be 32-1, right? Does that make sense? Or you're following the South Indian system, you'll boil the rice in water first, so it's fully cooked, regular cooked, you know, nicely cooked. Then you're going to put that into milk, so there you use 10-1. Because it's not going to cook down the milk. Does that make sense? So, now, if we don't follow that rule, will we get good sweet rice? I do 108-1 of rice to milk. You know, what am I going to get? You understand? So that's the thing. Unless we follow the rules, you don't get results, and the results are for Krishna. And then if there's rules to be given up because you're moving beyond, like the rules of grihastha life, then you give up certain things to move into vanaprastha, like this. Or, following V-karma, then you agree to follow the rules to, you know, work in karma. So then yes, they're giving something up. So therefore, like you said, the surrender is giving up the not following rules and agreeing to follow rules. But still, one has to understand that process is to please Krishna. There's no other purpose to it. So that's why the Goswamis is so great. Because now Rupa and Sanatan, they've given up their position and just followed Lord Chaitanya, went to Vrindavan, they were, you know, renunciates like that. But what did they give up? You understand? One is the prime minister of one of the biggest managers or kings in India. He means you have the emperor, but under him you have the whole of East India. So what's now would be Bengal, Bangladesh, Assam, and all those things up there, and how much of Orissa he can get his hands on, then that's his kingdom. And by numbers of people, it's the biggest. As far as states go that I know of, by size, Bengal is the most populated. And that's what we're only dealing with half. So if you included Bangladesh, you know, and like that, you know, it's just like there's more Bengalis than anybody else. No one ever thinks like that. And probably better they don't. Well, they might get worried, you know, about the... You understand? It's just this, because at one time when they were discussing what would be the national language in India, then one of the concepts was Bengali, because so many people speak it, more than any other state. So the prime minister of such a country, now is it a good position or would it be a good position? Probably a good position, right? Yeah. So. And then you have the treasurer of that. Does that make sense? So these have to be your two most trusted ministers. Like that. There's the generals, they go out and fight, but he goes out himself personally, and so he can keep his eye on them. But it means he goes out fighting. He leaves the whole administration to these two and doesn't even have to worry at all. He doesn't have to worry they're going to steal his money or take over. He'll come back and when he comes to the gate, they'll go, "Who are you?" or, you know, stuff like that.
Change the locks.
Yeah, change the locks.
Short ID.
Huh?
Short ID.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Nope, sorry. You understand? So their position, you know, who has that kind of position, they gave that up. Right, he had, when we say someone like, you know, how you say, we need a boatload of money, you know, he actually had a literal boatload of gold coins. We don't mean paper, we mean gold coins, like that. So, you know, enough gold coins to actually sink the boat, but, you know, that's the point, it was a boatload of. Does that make sense? And that's after he gave away, according to the Rupa Goswami formula. So he gave half of what he put away, then the other quarter he used himself. This was the quarter that was for emergencies, and that was a boatload. Right, so 10,000 gold coins. So, you know, you just calculate that today. You know, I'm not sure what a coin would be, but I would think, you know, the small little ones are like 7 grams. I would expect to be more like 10, 12 grams or even more, you know. But it's a lot, you know, and you figure out how much that's worth. 1 kilo is like what, now? Almost 30 lakhs. So then, you know, 30 lakhs times, you know, it's a lot of money. You know, they're doing okay. So, therefore, you have to have something to give up something. Otherwise, it's not to play that once the big renunciate. That's the thing. Oh, I give it up, but it wasn't yours in the first place. It belonged to Krishna. Right? So, one situated nicely, because giving, it says sarva dharma, but give up all religions. So, that means all these fundamental religious aspects that one follows in one life, one gives them up for oneself and uses them for Krishna. But if you're not following them, how do you give them up for Krishna? Because technically, V-dharma is not a dharma. Right? It means you could say it's malecha dharma, yavana. It means malecha dharma if you just don't know and you're just funky, right? But if you're opposed to the Vedic version, that's called a yavana. So you can have a very nice vegetarian yavana. But a yavana means one who opposes the Vedic principles. Malecha just means they don't care. They don't know they're there. They're just dirty. You know? Does that make sense? So then if we're not following, then becomes there. But if we're opposed to, that's even worse. So then, yes, we can give up that mentality, and that will have an effect like the surrender. But at the same time, is then you've given up and accepted the environment in which is pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna works in that religious environment. Because if it's not there, how do they joke about it? How do they play with it? You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's, yeah. Yes?
I guess the difficulty is that when we have Bhav, then following rules and regulation, it's easy, it's natural. But then without bath, it's just set of rules. It's dry and it's a burden. So this is the difference.
Yes, but there is a further step that is there, in that the reason it's a burden, we say it has no taste, because there is something that we're doing that does have a taste.
Yeah.
Because if there was nothing that had any taste, then it wouldn't bother us, because nothing has taste anyway. And so you do this, and now and again there's a little taste, so it's way better than anything else. So, because we have the material bhav, right?
Yeah.
So, like the ananda of the material world, that's bhav ananda, right? Most of the time it's thought as bhav ananda. No, it's bhav ananda. Like that. And so bhava is Lord Shiva is known as bhava. Because he controls the material world. His wife is the material world. So because we have an attachment to the material, then that's why then it seems to be dry on the other side. But it actually, once you get adjusted, it's actually the material that's dry and there's nothing there. Because you're dealing with externals, there's nothing actually there. You know, it's just like, okay, for kids, it's fun. They pretend to eat, right? Sit down, they cook something, and then pretend to eat. They're very nice. Yeah, strawberry halva, strawberry everything. Right? Yeah, you know, it's all strawberries. And then, but for an adult, you would think that may be a bit dry. Right? But if you're pretend eating with the kid who's pretend eating, now is it dry?
No,
it's no. That's the whole thing. Is when we see it in relationship to Krishna, it's not dry anymore. If we see it in relationship to the material values and all that, then it seems to be dry. But as soon as you add Krishna, it's no longer dry. Then we see jnana is dry. And karma is just a bad taste. You know? So, okay. So we're kind of good with all this, with the gopis, so we can move forward to the...
These devotees, why they take this kind of medium to express their love?
Why not? What's wrong? What's it? It's the source of all other relationships, right? It's the Adi Rasa. It's the original Rasa.
So it's also the original form.
It is. It contains all the other rasas. That's what we're saying. All the ingredients of the other rasas, then they're simply the sanchari within. They're just qualities within the madhurya rasa. Whatever's there and everything else is already there in theirs, because it's the origin of it.
So it's also original form of...
It's, that's why it's called Adi. Adi means the original. Adi rasa means the original rasa.
So they're the original of everything.
Krishna is the origin of everything. But when he wants to expand and taste rasa, then that position is Sarup Shakti expands, so therefore the first position is that of the Adi Rasa. Then to enhance that, then you expand all the other aspects of the rasa and the other rasas, and then you have a whole environment in which to taste that rasa. So it starts from there. But because we're starting outside of that, we're starting then bottom. We're coming up through. Right? Because since it's the highest position in the material world, it will be the lowest. So because of our attachment to it here in the material world, that gets in the way of our appreciating it in the spiritual world. Right? Because in the material world, it's about the activities of the conjugal rasa. While there, it's about the taste of the affection of the conjugal rasa. So for them, it's a medium. For us, it's the goal. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the problem. Is that good? Yeah. Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are caught up in this external, even though we're trying to develop internally.
Right.
But we do function out of habit, more or less.
Yes. But we're trying to develop new habits. That's what sadhana is for.
Yeah.
because you can develop bhava from sadhana. Means there's the spontaneous, just the gopis hear about Krishna and they're already in love with Krishna. Mm. But we have to hear quite a few times before we think, well, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. You know, like Prabhupada, who is it? Prabhupada saying, or George Harrison, maybe he says, who's the blue guy and who's the girl with him, you know? I think that's in the introduction. Prabhupada says it. Okay. Yeah. So then so that repetition of hearing about Krishna, hearing about the devotees and all that, then at some point it starts to develop habits. Mm-hmm. Though we may be doing it because of habit, but we're doing it. That's the whole point. So if you connect it to Krishna, that's where it becomes perfect. And then it can always develop and become more perfect. So perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So when we talk about perfection, that means you're on the transcendental platform. Then, beyond perfection, the perfection of perfection is prema. So when we say, when Prabhupada mentions perfection, he's not talking about prema. He's talking about the position that is very now easier to get prema because you don't have anything holding you back. See, Tathasta is the middle position. So if there's nothing, if there's no opposition of the material, then just being in contact with the Lord and his devotees, you develop that love. But if you have that idea to enjoy materially, then that's an obstacle for functioning with Krishna, because it's about Krishna's pleasure or my pleasure. Krishna's senses are mine. So perfection means coming to that neutral state now, and because we've gotten to that neutral state through sadhana, and so then we are aware of the transcendental position of Krishna consciousness and the devotion of the devotees. So now we'll look at it from a positive light, while before we looked at it from a neutral point of view and didn't take any interest, so then we get distracted. Right? We're in a natural position to develop that love, but we don't. And so then we take on then what we think is positive by getting the material. But now we know it's not positive, so when you come to that point, that's perfection, because you've perfected the purpose of being in the material world to get to the spiritual world. But now, in the spiritual world, now you can move forward to that platform of prema. So,
can we say over here that the more one is restricted, the more it gives variety, it gives rise to variety?
The more one is restricted, the more it gives rise to variety, as long as that restriction is what's coming according to the arrangement of the internal potency. So that's why then our restrictions are according to what is recommended, not we make up our own rules. You know, just like after Artik, the water from the conch shell, how is it distributed? Right? You go up and, you know, behind people's, when people are not looking and don't know you're coming, you sprinkle it on the back of their head. Right? So where does that come? That comes from us. That's not the tradition at all. You can go to hundreds of thousands of temples in India, no one will distribute it like that. Because the point is, since it's prasad, you want to be able to respect it. So that means you have to know it's there. Otherwise, it's like a jata sukriti. You know, it hit you, what's that? And then, oh, it's like that. And then you figure out what it is. You know what I'm saying? The reason it's not thrown from the front is because people wear glasses, and so therefore they throw it right on their glasses. But if you really wanted to be technical, then you know they're going to throw the water, take off your glasses. Or bend over, like they do in India. They just put their head down, so it lands on the back of their head, but they know it's coming, and it goes on the back of their head because of respect, not because of surprise.
But you have to be fast.
Huh?
You have to bend.
But you know where it's coming in the arti. You know when he hands it out or he comes out. You know what's going on. Especially if you're standing there in the front, you know what's going on. So therefore, then, you know, when it comes to that, walk farther back or take off your glasses or bend your head. But always just stand there straight and just get the water straight in your face. And also, why don't they teach them how to throw the water? Because there's a way, prochana means it comes out very fine. But it comes out in a splat. That's not Prokshin. Right? You know what I'm saying? So
one
there's
guy
technique.
Gets half the water.
Huh?
One guy gets half the water.
Yeah, yeah. And that one guy happens to be standing in the front, and the one guy happens to be wearing glasses, and the one guy happens to be in charge. Right? So therefore, then he sets the rules. They all follow it, and because they because there is a rule, and it's been made up by us, that makes a million and one times more sense than one coming from Shastra. So within months, the whole world does it. You can be talking what you should do until you turn blue in the face. No one will catch it. But as soon as you make up something, bang, it's immediate. Like that. You know, that the flower, right? Right in your nose, and then they touch your head, put it in your nose. But when you have to, see, it's very important. You got to get the timing just perfectly. It's got to be when you're singing. So the air is coming out, so you can't actually breathe in like that, and then you have to stick the flower in your nose like that. Very important. Now you may say you're laughing, but here I tell you the science. See, now have you ever had the experience where there's a flower, nice, very fragrant flower? It's given to someone. They smell it nicely, and then when they hand it to you, there's no smell left. They actually smell the smell out of the flower. You never had that experience? You can actually do that. Just a nice thing. And you can take all the fragrance out of the flower. Yeah. 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 But so, therefore, if you want the flower to get all the way around the room, you have to put it in their nose when they're breathing out so that they can't actually smell it. Yeah. I doubt anyone figured that out, but
that's what we hear.
That's why after they go around and put it down, you can come up and smell it. It actually has smell.
It's very scientific.
Yeah, it is very scientific. So like that, we have so many rules we make up ourselves. Just like we're very strict, so after eating, then you have to take a full bath before going on the altar. But that's not a rule in any scripture anywhere. You can't wear the clothes that you eat in on the altar, but you never take a bath. It's not, you never take a bath after you eat. You know, I mean, if you're eating like your, you know, six-month-old baby, so you cover them head to foot with, you know, spaghetti sauce, okay, then go take a bath. But otherwise, you rinse your mouth, hands, and feet properly, change your clothes, then you go in. So the pujaris don't wear their puja clothes when they eat. That's the rule. And you don't wear those into the bathroom. Right, so therefore you require facilities that you can wash your hands, mouth, and feet that are not in the toilet. Right, that's the rules. Does that make sense? Yeah. But if you go to the toilet, then you take a bath. But you don't wear your clothes there either, right? Like that. So these are the tradition.
But you go naked.
Means you don't wear the clothes you're going to wear on the altar. You wear a gumshoe or something when you think of that. Does that make some sense? So, but we make it up that no, but yeah, you tell them the rules. Yes, no, that's nice, but we're really strict. You know, that's ordinary. No, it says no, you're not strict. You've made it up. That's speculation. What I've said, that's strict. That's the standard. So that's the thing. Is then they'll say the Vedic culture is not practical. Why? Because we make the rules up so that it's not practical, you know. So and wherever we like, so it's not consistent. One place we're strict like this, and another place we couldn't care less. You know, it's like they're strict like anything on taking the bath after eating. But eating means you take a chapati, right? You pick it up with your right hand. You open your left hand so it's kind of flat. Put it flat on your left hand. Then with your spoon, take some sabji and spoon it into there. Then with both hands, roll it up. And then you might, with one hand or two hands, eat it like that. And then, since you're eating it with your right hand, then the dal, then you have that in a cup. You drink that with your left hand like that.
This sounds like an actual example.
It is. And then the rice, you eat plain with a spoon. You never saw that?
I've seen different similar things.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is pretty standard. back when people ate with their hands, right? So. Mm. Yeah.
So, Maharaj, so we see nowadays in ISKCON that many girls, they dance like gopi, you know, in front of kirtan procession.
You would rather them do like the mosh pit or...
I mean, is it proper, like according to Vedic tradition, usually women don't do things like that?
They dance in front of the deities. They just—it's about the. As long as it's about the deities, then what's the problem? If it's about themselves, then that's the problem.
It's process. I mean, it's kirtan on the street or something, you know, in the public. So the devotee, I mean, ladies, they dance.
I mean, I mean, you can solve that problem. It's called burkas. It's hard to play kartals underneath. But I think you play mridanga might be more difficult. You know? You think they're flying because you just from inside they have the thing and this is going. They're trying to fly. What's going on? You know? And then the other ones are going like this. You know, in front. But, yeah, it would be pretty weird. You know. And then if you could get those. How you say you have the burqa on and then have them wear those scream masks like that, and then you know it would definitely go down good. Yeah. The point is they're just dancing with Krishna. That's how it's attractive. You're supposed to be attracted to Krishna, not them. In the Harinam in the 60s, when they were there, then they used to do is that they'd go out and make two lines. The girls would be in the front and the men would be behind. Because the girls would just dance and then the men would play all the musical instruments. You know, doesn't mean they go crazy. If you're talking about Russian dancing, then I would say you could make it refined. But if you're talking about the standard, our dancing, putting your hands up and swaying and that kind of thing, which is the stately dancing as they generally translate it, then that's standard for anybody anywhere. It's just you're supposed to be looking at the deities, that's all I'd say.
Usually people don't look at these.
The people on the street, what do they? What does it matter? They look at anything. So, you know what I'm saying? So what's the problem if they're looking at it? Because then they get attention. They hear the holy name and stuff like that. You know, you don't worry about them because they're not. You don't have to worry they're going to get distracted from devotional service. They're already distracted. Does that make sense? So proper dancing, what's the problem? Now, if they're going crazy and bumping into people and, you know, they're doing the whirling dadavesh, then that's more of a... That's Vaishnava mixed with Islam. So generally we're not so much into that one. They do things nice together and choreographed kind of thing. Because that's the things girls can do that. You don't see that with the boys because they can't. You have this whole temple room full of girls, right? The whole place, that you know, half of the temple, packed. And one girl in the front just starts doing some movement. Within a nanosecond, the back girl's doing the same thing. And then whatever she does, then everybody else does, as long as she knows what she's doing, so that at least for that day, because otherwise they'll replace her and someone else will stand in the front. Does that make sense? But the men, you can start something like that, and they still can't do it. So
they can't even match like the steps.
So hence the mosh pit.
Yeah,
that they can
origin
do.
Of the mosh.
Yeah,
pit.
The origin. So that the girls are dancing. What's the problem? But if they're making it about themselves, then that we don't recommend. We don't recommend anybody. The men shouldn't do that either. But if men do it, it's less annoying than if the women do it.
We're not as good at it.
Yeah, we're not as good at it, so it's not as annoying. You know, it's like the guy will take. I mean, unless he's real. Yeah, but I don't know. You don't. It's rare you see them. Generally, they stay out of the way because. Yeah, that one guy who just spins.
Yeah.
But he stays out of the way. He doesn't go in the front. He just finds a little, because he just wants to spin. Because if he's in the front, people bump into him. And he's been doing that since
time anymore.
Yeah, like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like in chapati, you know, the ladies are not allowed to dance in front of Kirtan party. You know, and they even are not allowed to do book distribution on street.
Then that's fine, but who are you dealing with? What families are these girls from?
They are mainly Indian.
Yeah, family. And from what kind of families?
Middle class.
But what kind of, but what level of culture?
Traditional.
Yeah, so therefore, it's not something they would want to do. You know what I'm saying? But in the West, the girls are already out on the street. Right? Could you imagine having a disco if there were no girls?
No.
A nightclub, there's no girls?
That's not possible.
Yeah. You could have a bar, but then it wouldn't look like one of these fancy bars. It looked like one of the ones in the westerns, you know, the 150 years ago. That's a man's bar. But even there, there's a few girls around, you know. Yeah. But those ones charge. Yeah.
Hmm?
Indian tea store. Yeah, yeah. Indian tea store. Yeah. That's the local Indian. That's the bar, yeah. Go hang out there, drink your tea, smoke your beaties, you know, be the man, you know, like that. Talk your politics. You know. True, yeah. Okay, yeah, see, so. And that's always been there, because Manu mentions it, so that means it's 151 trillion years old, the Indian tea stall, like that. It's always been there, right? You know, so the saloons, those are a new thing, right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then much of the time these Western girls, then they're very comfortable in these on the street and doing all that. In fact, you tell them to stay, you know, in a more controlled environment, they feel uncomfortable. But for our girls from these families, traditional families, that's where they feel comfortable, is in that closed environment. So then for them to do that is normal, because otherwise what's going to happen? The Indian girls aren't going to go and dance there in the front. Right, because they won't be at the front anyway. They'll generally be towards the back, and they'll put their hands up and do the stately dancing like we said. I don't think they have a complaint about that. But because Chopadi is a popular place in that, and it's full of brahmacharis, then what's going to happen? Right? So therefore, they have restrictions. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of what's there. So then in those who are from the traditional families, they would follow the traditional rules. You wouldn't send them out on the street to do sankirtan. If they're second generation, you wouldn't send them out on the street to do sankirtan. The first generation, and that's where they grew up, is on the street. Then if they do sankirtan, it's not a problem. But when it gets to the point where they're uncomfortable doing it, then you don't say, you know, surrender, Prabhu, and like that. You just say, yeah, you know, you don't have to do that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the culture you're dealing with. Yes?
There is an interview with one old Mataji, because the last generation of dancers for Lord Jagannath, there were still temple dancers for Lord Jagannath.
Yes.
And they were the only dance that nobody would see. Like they were doing all these traditional dances and all with all decorated.
Yeah.
But this was like a ball opening, nobody sees this dance.
Yes, private. It's a private dance. Only Jagannath can see. Jagannath and any of the pujaris that are there, because they're on Jagannath's side, but no one else can see. But I think the last one, when they're putting him to rest, then the temple's closed. Only that time they come out and dance. But before, is all the temples had Devi Dasis.
All the temples had Devi Dasis.
Yeah, it means the major temples. You know, I mean the little Ganesh temple down on the corner next to the next to the pond wall. They probably didn't have Devi Dasis. Maybe some howling dogs, you know. But I've seen that in Vrindavan. There'd be all the dogs there in Raman Reiki just laying there in the dust there, you know, just taking their nap. And then then just on the side there, there'll be a house that has, they have a temple that's kind of, it's there, you can see the deities when they do the arctic. Small little thing, just as you walk down and then it goes into Ramanredi, or you turn left and you go up to the, you know, all the places where the devotees stay and all that, but you keep going straight. So all the dogs would be there laying down, their heads down, you know, how they sleep, you know, curled up and all that. Then they would start the artik, and in India, artik is always with bells, because bells can include all music. So they're playing the bells. And then during that time, the dogs would raise up their heads and howl the whole time. You know, like this. They wouldn't get up and do it. They just lay there, but then how? And as soon as the artik, they blow the conch and it stops, then they just put their head back down and go back to sleep. So they would sing for all the artiks, yeah. Huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nobody would see those
Matajis
dancing.
Yeah, no one would see. So it's a standard thing. So when they're doing all the wild stuff like that, because it's thought that, you know, it's just doing it, it's preaching, and that, and it is. But at the same time, is if girls don't want to do that kind of public display, and we say it's Maya, that's uncultured. It's sinful, actually. Because the point is girls don't do public. The ones that do public dancing in the Vedic system, they're the prostitutes.
Yeah.
But since you have to have a big program, you have public dancing, then they're there to do the dancing. But they're not like these, you know, local tight pant cheapo girls. These are, you know, high class, very expensive girls. You know what I'm saying? So they know all the arts, they're very intelligent, you know, very cultured, like that. And so they take care of all that public display of, you know, like we want to have a stage program and dancing and girls up there and giving garlands to people as they come up on the stage, and that would all be done by the society girls. So that's their part. They're there. They're known. Everybody knows them. You know? Because they're famous. And so they're always at these programs. Because that's how it works. Does that make sense? So if our girls don't mind doing that kind of stuff, then they can do it. But if other generations or those sort of traditional families don't want to do it, and we push them to do it because it's preaching and it's Maya and all that, then it's nonsense. Because they're not, that person who's pushing them and breaks down the culture is not going to fix the problem later when it comes up in their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be careful. They're comfortable like that. They don't want to go. Like I know one temple president, he would go out, you know, go to some faraway place and collect. And then, I don't know, he figured out one time if he took his wife and she did collecting also, they could make more money for the temple. And, you know, being reluctant and all that, she didn't, but he convinced her that, you know, it's preaching this, that. Then they went there, they collected, she did very well and all that, but then when they came back, then she didn't want to do all the stuff in the home anymore. You know. So you can't have your cake and eat it. They are comfortable at home, they stay at home. You push them out, then they're out, they don't want to be at home. You understand? So like that. So if they're out, they do out stuff. They're in, they do in stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it works. So for us, it's connected to Krishna, it works. But if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's an annoyance. Therefore, any of these public displays, if it's not done with the idea to please Krishna, then it is a disturbance. But if it's done with to please Krishna, it's fine. Like that. It just means that in temples where they have those wild, crazy girls dancing during the artik, don't go to artik. Go chant somewhere. Because you won't be able to get into the temple anyway, because they block the whole way, and there's no, you know, so why even try? Does that make sense?
So, regarding to this Devidasis, somehow I heard that they are exploited by, you know, somehow, I mean.
Oh, man. Yes. And I heard during the Cultural Revolution that hundreds, millions of people died. means if people don't follow the culture, things go wrong. People follow the culture, it goes right. Government has taxes. People also don't pay taxes. Government has laws. They break the laws. That's why there's prisons. So are we going to take the standard, you know, the criminals, that how they behave, that's going to be the standard?
No.
Then why would we take it like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if it's misapplied, then that means it's misapplied. That's not how it's supposed to be. People open temples just to make money. People become gurus to make money. People become speakers of Bhagavatam to make money. People do samskar to make money. That's not what you're supposed to do. They have education to make money. So it's all being exploited because people are materialistic. So what's the solution? Be God conscious, then you can correct it. Does that make sense?
So
you don't have to worry about it. Right? Unless you have a big problem where you're from, that so many girls want to be Devi Dasis for the deities, and they're so expert in all the 64 arts, and they just want to express them for Krishna for his satisfaction. You have that problem?
No.
No. So then don't worry about it. You know what
I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, we're good. Yes, okay. So, yeah, we didn't even so far get to the first sentence. Sometimes we get a few sentences, but that was the synopsis of the sentence. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Success in life is always performing beneficial for others by life heirs, probably beneficial acts for others by life heirs, etc. By life heirs means doing acts without consideration for one's life. Using intelligence means thinking of the best methods. Using words means giving instructions. If one cannot give life, then give wealth. If not wealth, then intelligence. And if not intelligence, then words. Okay, so that's the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Sri Krishna said, just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat, and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. My dear friends, I think they are glorified in this birth as trees. They are also so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of faculties to human society, such as leaves, fruits, flowers, shade, roots, bark, flavor, extracts, and fuel. They are the perfect example of noble life. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words, for the welfare of all living entities. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus moving among the trees whose branches were bent low by their abundance of twigs, fruits, flowers, and leaves, Lord Krishna came to the Jamuna River. The cowherd boys let the cows drink the clear, cool, and wholesome water of the Jamuna. O King Parikit, the cowherd boys themselves also drank that sweet water to their full satisfaction. So seeing that the cows have drank, then they'll drink. Because otherwise, why they drink water, the cows may wander off, then they didn't drink. So they have to see that they all get down to the water, they all drink everything. Once they've drank the water and all that, then as they come out, then the boys can drink. So it's just the standard. You take care of those who are your, you know, are dependents, then you. So the Grihastha, he takes care of guests, then he takes care of dependents, then he eats last. So that's the system. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the boys let the cows drink the water in the Jamuna, Tatara, which was very pure, healthy, and giving auspicious results, Shivaha. After the cows drank, the boys drank. since that was the rule for cowherds. O king, that is the Dharma for cowherds, just as it is for you in relation to your citizens. In spite of the cows disturbing the water, it was clear even when the boys drank, svadu. This is a glorification of the water. They drank to satisfaction. Mentioning the word water twice in the verse gives it importance. So that's the whole thing, is that they're drinking the water, but also how they're drinking the water. So they're following the etiquette. So these are there because they work in there. Because all these little things, you may say, well, all these rules and all that, but what is it doing? It's about doing something for someone else's benefit. That's sacrifice. And so that, in being applied, ultimately comes up to Krishna, whereas that the sacrifice is to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to do. But if you can't sacrifice on a lower, how you'll do on a higher level? So it's practice. So it's done in all aspects of life. That's why the Vedic rules are there, is so that one is performing sacrifice. That means you're working for the benefit of others. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked on the bank of the Jamuna, touching the leaves of the trees and their fruits. Flowers and twigs. It's because it's near to the sunset. That's why it's more noisy. Because more of the twilight, that's when people go out more. Well, in the summer, it's more quiet because it's hot, so nobody's around. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked on the bank of the Jamuna, touching the leaves of the trees and their fruits, flowers and twigs, and praising their glorious welfare activities. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society, according to their own views. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement. As instructed by Lord Chaitanya, one should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. So being humble in all situations, whatever the situation, that is the quality of audarya. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is known for audarya, that mercy. It's because you're humble. You can't give mercy if you're not humble. Right? Sometimes we want to go up and be part of the thing, you know, it's the Abhishek, you want to throw the flowers to give the mercy, but you do it with pride, that's not audarya. Mm-hmm. So actually no one likes it. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why that one must be humbler, should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. The toleration of the tree is explained by Lord Krishna himself. And those who are engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through their direct disciplic succession. Right? So this is the method. That's how preaching works. Humble doesn't mean that you're not confident. It's that you don't think I'm the doer. You think it's by Krishna's grace. So we can be bold preachers and still be humble. We take it humble means you got to crawl under a rock. And you kind of in a, you know, very quiet, squeaky voice goes, you know, want to buy a book? You know, and that, you know, the sound of their shoes clacking, you know, drowns out your voice so it doesn't happen. But you cower under there because of your being humble. And no, it just means that you don't think you're the doer. That's why you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his boys, they were very powerful preachers, but the point is you don't think that you're doing it. It's for Krishna's pleasure. This is what needs to be said, so it's being said. Yeah, so then we have to hear how to do this from the disciplic succession. Otherwise we make up our own system of how to do this. It may not work out as well as we would think it would work out. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, then, O king, the cowherd boys began herding the animals in a leisurely way within a small forest along the Jamuna. But soon they became afflicted by hunger and, approaching Krishna and Balaram, spoke as follows. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, they were herding the cows in a grove of Ashoka trees. This will be mentioned later. This infers that the trees were without fruits. Ashoka trees have no fruit. According to the cows, will kamam, they herded the cows. The cows work on the principle that the grass is greener on the other side, So wherever they see that they think the grass is greener, because if you take them to where you think it should be, they'll simply look where they think it's greener and go there. Doesn't matter. If you have them all on one side and you have the gate closed, they want to go to the other side. So now if you open the gate and put them all on that side and then close it, now they want to come to this side. It's just the way they are. So as they're moving, so they've moved into the Ashoka Van. But the Ashoka trees don't have any fruits. So naturally there's nothing to eat. Right? That huge, depends upon which ones we're talking here. Because an Ashoka can be those huge monster trees that you used to see along the highway. You know, that they themselves are like a meter and a half, 2 meters across at the you know, means just their diameter, not the circumference. Those huge, those are hundreds of years old, those are Ashoka. Or sometimes also that Devdaru can sometimes be called Ashoka. So, but either one of them, they don't have fruits. According to the cow's will, Kamam, they herded the cows. Wandering, they developed hunger because of drinking the water and having no fruits in the trees in that forest, right? Because if you drink water, then the digestion and all that works nicely, so then you get hungry. With a desire to eat, they were suffering. Though it was not possible for them to suffer from hunger in the presence of the Lord, this happened by the will of the Lord to give mercy to the wives of the Brahmins by begging food from them, right? Because remember, they were all with Krishna and Govardhan Hill. And so no one felt hungry or thirsty for 7 days. So if you're in Krishna's association, you won't feel that. You know. So it was by Krishna's will that it came up to give mercy to the wives of the Brahmins. The boy's hunger actually means the boys were afflicted by thinking that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. So that's what they're thinking. Just like when you see Draupadi's arguing with Yudhishthira about who should be the king, it's not actually about herself. She doesn't have a problem. Wherever husbands are, she's happy to be there. But she feels that Yudhishthira should be king, not Duryodhana, because he has the qualifications, he has the right. It's proper. He's Krishna conscious. You know, so from all angles, he's better. So that's what she's worried about. So the same thing here. The coward boys, their hunger, they're worried about Krishna's hunger. So they're not actually worried about their own hunger. They came close, Upagamya, and spoke. Since speaking about this from a distance would be embarrassing for them. So they'll come up close. You don't stand in the back and go, I'm hungry, you know, like that. You know. Yeah. You know. This chapter ends abruptly in the middle of the story because Sukadev became temporarily stunned on remembering details of the present pastime. Or he remained silent for a few moments in order to give understanding that this topic was confidential. This applies to other stories also. So when there's confidential things and you see it just kind of like it ends, you know, just kind of, he's spoken it nicely, so it just ends and starts something else, then this may be also what's going on. Either it's due to the question, this and that, but it can also be this. So he's just, he started this, but this ends the chapter. Okay. Important verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:22-35. Etab vajjanma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu praner arter diavacha shreya archanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words, as spoken by Lord Krishna. Chapter 23, the Brahmin's wives blessed. Pratigya. If one does not develop Krishna consciousness, all discharge of religious duties is simply a waste of time and energy. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how the cowherd boys went to the Brahmanas, performing sacrifice to ask for food, how they were disrespected, and how they went to the wives of the Brahmanas and gained their affection. After this, the Brahmanas repented. Sardartha Darshani 10:22-1. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses. 1-12, the cowherd boys approached the Brahmanas for food. 13-23, the cowherd boys approached the wives of the Brahmanas. 24-37, Krishna gives the ladies an appropriate benediction. And 38 to 52, the brahmanas, self-condemnation. It means, I don't know if you've heard it, at least before you'd see it, that along the long building, there's all those bushes there, in front of the long building, between the road and the building.
Yeah.
Used to be there was really full those. And there would be, I don't know, like some kind of like, a million or a billion sparrows would live in there. Mm-hmm. So this time of night, like just at this time, they would come back from the day and all go into the bushes. And then they would do this. They would just jabber the whole, like until it got dark, then they'd just go to sleep. So that's what Prabhupada's talking about, question and answers. In the morning, they get up, question and answers. Where's food? Where's this? Where's that? And at night, then they all talk about it. So in Bengali, the term's called chechamechi. When the birds get together and they like that, it's chechamechi. So when it gets to the twilight, then it's chechamechi time.
But does it mean for the spiritual discussion, is it a good time?
Yes, because that you're supposed to be talking about Krishna.
Okay.
But instead they're talking about
chechamechi.
Yeah, just other stuff. So you see, now as it starts to get too dark, then it'll go down. Then it gets more sober and proper. But just at that twilight, when the sun goes down and before it gets too dark, then that's the time when everyone just like, so you can see that.
You increase your rounds.
Yeah. You do all kinds of things. Verses 1 to 12. Okay, no. 24 to 37, Sri Krishna gives the ladies an appropriate benediction, and 38 to 52, the Brahmin's self-condemnation. Verses 1 to 12, the cowherd boys approach the Brahmanas for food. The cowherd boys said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Right? So then, they'll say that also, and it's pleasant kind of things. We're hungry, you should do something, you like this kind of thing. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, being more specific, they say, O chastiser of the wicked. Shruti says, Shut kalu vai manushyasya bratrivya. Hunger is the enemy of mankind. Destroy this hunger which is giving us pain. So chastiser of the wicked. So hunger is the wicked in this case. So destroy this hunger which is giving us pain. They pray to both Krishna and Balaram out of affection. They call Balaram first and repeatedly, since Krishna is pleased when Balaram is respected. Following the rules of etiquette, Krishna also instructs them to do this in verse 4. Right, because whenever Krishna then says some glories, he always talks about Balaram. He doesn't talk about himself. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the morning passed, and the cowherd boys were very hungry because they had not eaten breakfast. They immediately approached Krishna and Balaram and said, Dear Krishna and Balaram, you are both all-powerful. You can kill many, many demons, but today we are very much afflicted with hunger, and this is disturbing us. Please arrange for something that will mitigate our hunger. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahman's wives. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Krishna, endowed with all powers, Bhagavan, then spoke in order to give mercy to the wives of the Brahmins. The phrase is in the singular to represent a group of one type. Footnote 8. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that some may say that the singular tense is used to indicate one particular wife who would attain the tenth stage of prema, as will be described later. But it also can mean one group. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the singular, it's a singular of something. Mm-hmm. That, right. But then within this, he says, then there'll be somebody who will be the leader of those. Right? Just like in the previous pastime, then all those gopis that came, the unmarried gopis, headed by Dunya. So then she's the leader of that group. So then with the wives of the Brahmins, there must be a leader. For a long time they had Rati for the Lord, Bhaktyaha. The boys first asked the husbands, in order to show the glories of their wives, right? Because if you asked the wives first, they would have got the food, you wouldn't have understood. It would have just been standard. But when you ask the husbands, then you see that they're rejected. Then you ask the wives, and they arrange it. Then you can see their glories. Right? So for Krishna, it's about the glories of the devotees. And then along with that, then they get the result of food. Right? And that's to please the coward boy. So it's about the interaction that's important. How did their devotion arise? He was the Lord of the universe, Jagadishwaraha. He who shows sweetness and power in the universe. How could devotion not arise in those women who had very soft hearts? Lord Krishna said, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the Agni Angirasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Lord Krishna said, go to the sacrificial arena. They are chanting the Vedas, but do not know the meaning of the Vedas. They are performing a sacrifice for elevation to Swarga, right? Because the meaning of the Vedas is to come to the transcendental platform. Right? Does that make sense? So, are these Brahmins in Braj? Are they? No, why not?
Actually, but by the activity, they're not.
No, yes. But what we're pointing out here is nothing. So they're in Braj, but they're not Krishna conscious. So that means, for those who say, oh, you can't be in the spiritual world unless this and that, here, right here is the example. Right? They're there doing their religious activities, doing everything nicely, but not Krishna conscious at all.
And it's not like a case of like Arjuna, who's kind of
bewildered. No, it's just they're there. It's how it is. The point is, but you see, then they come to the Krishna. By this, the wives get the blessings, but the husbands also get, because then they become Krishna conscious. So, you know, Krishna takes care of everybody.
Yes. So we usually say that it's Bhumi Vrindavan.
Yeah, but it's still the spiritual world. That's the whole big point, is that. Yeah, but that's the mistake, is we think that the Bhauma Lila is not the spiritual world, because we'll tend to look at things according to time and space, and so for us, then it has to be in a different space than we're in, because we're already the Lord of this space. So then, you know, Krishna being the Lord has to be another space. Yes.
So according to this example, it is a spiritual world for those who are conscious about it. But these people, they want to get to Swarga from Braj, which is kind of
easy. You just kind of have to walk out and drop down. It's not a problem. Like for here, we got to try to climb up. They just have to drop down.
I'm good at this. Huh? I'm good at this.
Okay. Yeah, just don't step out and end up on Patala. Right? That's also down. The point is the jiva can, he's tatastha, he can go for anything. So because something, why we're saying is that, remember the other day we were talking about Sarup Siddhi,
yeah,
and Vastu Siddhi.
Yeah.
So the Sahajiyas do a whole thing on this Sarup Siddhi. So it's technically, it's important, but in actual, the whole overall thing, it's overrated. Because you can be in your Sarup and still not be Krishna conscious. But Vastu Siddhi means you are Krishna conscious. You've come to that platform. Now you're qualified for prema. So then you inherit prema. That's the natural thing that you would get. Right? You know, just the example is that someone is born in a wealthy family, then they inherit the estate. Just natural by time. So if you come to that maturity, so if we come to that maturity in Krishna consciousness, you inherit that position of being in prema. So they're in the spiritual world, and most likely in spiritual bodies. But at the same time, is they're not interested in spiritual activities.
Does that mean that the karna sharir is not gone yet? What is that? How do we understand this?
It means that you've developed it. Because when you look across at the material, so if they're looking at Swarga, they're definitely looking across the Viraja. So then that means at that time you develop that.
Yeah.
That. And then until you give that up, then you'll have a problem. So that's why these subtle points in the stories are there, is to get rid of that. Because even though we may get rid of the gross things, you still have to get rid of the subtle. So whether they have spiritual bodies or not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is the consciousness they have. But then by the association of seeing the examples of their wives, then they come to a more elevated position. So it's devotion is all by association. So before they didn't appreciate that, so they didn't take that association, so they didn't develop it. And now they will. So works, doesn't work.
It's interesting because the cover boys, they came actually to give them their association.
Yes.
But they wouldn't even say on. It means they completely neglected them.
Yes.
But then when the whole thing turned, you know, into whatever it turned in, then they paid little attention.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how it works, is how you say. Yeah. You take things for granted. That's the difficulty. So that's why then that humble, tolerant attitude, that respectful attitude, then you can be the most conscious to not take things for granted. And so then they just take it that the important thing is their yajnas, and so everything else is in support of that. So they don't see that. Because they're Brahmins. What are the cowherd boys going to do? They have stuff. It's because, generally speaking, Brahmins beg from Vaishyas, not Vaishyas from Brahmins. So they're looking at from that. They're not looking at, here's kids. You know, they're looking at, I'm doing the sacrifice, this is an elevated, this is an adult thing, it's not for children, you know, it's already like that. So then, but now, on an ordinary sense, they could say something about it, but the standard thing would be, you would, if they've come to you, you would figure out some way to feed them. But at the same time, is the more important thing is that they didn't catch Krishna about Krishna and Balaram, because they refer to them, but it wasn't important to them. So then that's why then they took that strong position and then didn't see things appropriately. Since the whole point is if you want to get to the heavenly planets, you still have to please Vishnu. Because unless he's pleased, then it doesn't happen. And so here, you know, Krishna and Balaram, the origin of Vishnu, is coming and wants the offering. So then without the yajna, you can just hand it to them and eat it straight. You don't even have to do the whole technical thing. It's just so much easier. Right?
Maybe that's where the taste is.
Yeah, of course it's there, because you feel you've done, and therefore I've done, so yeah, exactly. I get the results and like that. And so they're all fine, fine points. Is that...
So these brahmanas, they are like karma mimamsas.
They're karma kanda brahmins. Whether they're karma mimamsas, that's another thing. Because you can be into Vedanta, but be into karma. So it's just that you know that's all later. Like, you know, when you're young, then you do all this grihastha stuff, and when you get old, that's when you take up being renounced and chanting and going to the temple and all those kind of things. You know. I mean, it's a pretty standard Hindu way of looking at stuff. You know, like these boys, when they take up Krishna consciousness, the parents, it's not the problem that they're Krishna conscious, they're just doing it about 40 to 50 years earlier than they should. You know, when you can't do anything else, I mean literally, you know, then all you can do is sit there, then you sit there with your japa and your little book stand with your Bhagavad Gita on it and that, then that's cool. You know, you sit in the corner of the shop and still keep eye on things so that, you know, if they see something wrong, they still let you know. No?
One parent told in Pune one brahmachari joined. So one parent came and told like that to the temple president that he should join actually after 50 like that. So
yes.
The temple president told, okay, now you, what is your age? He told 50. You join, you send your...
And yeah, said, you come.
And he said, keep my boy here.
sacrifice.
Yeah, sacrifice. Yes.
He's taking a very dramatic way, actually, temple president. You are the one who quoted the Vedic literature, and then you have such conviction. I'm very happy about that. But you are 50.
Yeah.
First time we heard something.
Yeah, no, it's good. It really throws
from South India.
Yeah, no, it really throws them off. They don't know what to do. Okay, how are we doing? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds, to show the Brahmanas that he does not give mercy to those who do not have bhakti, even though they are endowed with austerity, knowledge, and religious principles, and that he gives mercy to those who have bhakti. Their wives, even though they lacked knowledge and austerity, Krishna sent the boys to the Brahmanas. Right, so he's going to establish this, that they have all the austerity, they have the knowledge, they have the religious principles, but they can't know Krishna. But the wives, they don't have these, they can know Krishna, because it's bhakti. Means you can have this knowledge and know Krishna, just like Uddhava. Now, he's a perfect example of most knowledgeable, right? He had the intelligence like Brihaspati, right? And then religious principles, his austerity, everything. It was all perfect. But he was fully Krishna conscious. So then it has some glory. But otherwise, without it, it's not that glorious. I mean, it's better than, you know, the Vikarmis, but...
Usually, let's say, most of the time, the examples of something opposite of what it's supposed to be means that usually the Brahman is supposed to be like this, 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 and we try to follow the rules.
Right.
What we see with Krishna, he usually breaks the rules in order to show who is superior in devotion.
Oh, he's showing what the rules for.
Yeah,
so that's the point. Is here, it says, to show the Brahmins, he did not give mercy to those who do not have bhakti, even though they have all these. So they're following those. He's not saying you shouldn't have thus austerity, knowledge, and religious principles. It's just that that's not enough to know him. So technically, he's not breaking the rule. He's showing what the rule is for. You know, so he does it in a way that it will stand out. Because if he had just gone to the wives and the husbands would have yelled and screamed, now how do you deal with that? Right? But if you've already gone to them, and then you went to the others, and then they surrendered to Krishna, and then the husbands understood that surrender, then there's something there. Then they'll catch. Right? You know, it's just like he was saying there, if you make a bit of a drama out of it. You know, if he just said, you know, that you know, yeah, only if you're 50. Oh, how old are you? You're 50, so why don't you join? You know, it wouldn't have the same effect. It would start an argument, but you start this whole thing. Yes, oh, this is so wonderful, and people quoting the Vedas, and this and that. It's so nice to see people like that. We need people like that, and so like that. So therefore, please, you come and join. You're 50, so according to the Shastra, you should join, and just as you said, like that. And then, yes, you know, your son, he can go back and be the Grihastha, but you're coming, like, you make that, and then they can't argue or fight like that. But if you just come in straight, then it doesn't always work. So that's why you
start by giving their argument, and then you show that the actual understanding of that argument is something different.
Yes, yeah. So that's the synthesis, is that you show that our position includes theirs, it's going farther. Instead of opposing theirs, it includes theirs. Because Vedanta, that's the beauty of it. It does include everything else. It's not that it includes some things and not other things. No, it includes everything. And if you can't see that, it just means one needs more study. Like that, then Krishna will reveal. Okay. When you go there, so Krishna's speaking. When you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. Right? So that they should catch that. Because you mentioned he's the Supreme Lord Balaram, and then Krishna, and that they have sent, not that they just came on their own. Right? Because otherwise they came on their own, then his boys are not supposed to come like this, you know, you should go home. You know, your mothers will make, you know, nice arrangements and that. No, Krishna and Balaram have sent them. Right? Because they're worshipping the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Charity is generally given to high-class Brahmanas, but Krishna Balaram did not appear in a Brahmana family. Balaram was known as the son of Vasudeva, a Kshatriya, and Krishna was known in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj, who was a Vaishya. Neither belonged to the Brahman community. Therefore, Krishna considered that the Brahmanas engaged in performing sacrifices might not be induced to give charity to a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. But at least if you utter the name of Balaram, they might prefer to give in charity to a Kshatriya rather than to me, because I am only a Vaishya. Right? So that's taking that position there. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the coward boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the brahmanas with palms joined in supplication and then fell flat on the ground to offer respect. Because remember, the boys actually wanted food for Krishna and Balaram. If they're hungry, Krishna and Balaram must be hungry. So they wanted to see that they weren't hungry. They weren't so worried about themselves. It was just, it's just, that's the friendship rasas, that you make a whole scene out of food, right? You know, like that. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, they went because they had to follow the Lord's order. They begged in the way instructed by Krishna. They described as acting with proper etiquette, folding their hands and falling on the earth to reveal the bad conduct of the brahmanas. It is understood that Krishna told them to do this, or because they were the best of devotees, this was natural to them to show devotion to Brahmins. So in either way, either from that devotional point that they respect the Brahmins, because Brahmins are always respected. Even if we meet smartas, we'll respect them, we'll deal nicely. But if they come up with some weird philosophy, then we, you know, if it's appropriate, we will give an answer. But otherwise, we will be respectful because they are Brahmins. They are practicing like that. Even if someone dresses that a Brahmin is not, you still deal with them properly, you know. But you just don't really... You're limited in how much facility you offer, like that. But those who are actually practicing, then you deal much more.
And we see Prabhupada always respecting even material qualifications.
Yeah, of course you have.
Businessmen or...
That's Manu. The businessman has to be respected for his money, and the bigger the more money, the more he's respected. So there's a bigger one with more money, and then there's someone who has less money. You talk to the big man first, then the guy. But now if, let's say, one of them, the one who has less money is a relative, you know, especially if there's a senior relative, and the other one, you'll deal on the relative aspect first, and then with the money. Because people understand that. It's just the way it works. Right, and if there's the power, if the government guy is there, you talk to him first, then the then the family guy, then the businessman, right? And then if there's a Brahmin there, then he's talked to first, then like that. If it's a devotee, then he's first, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, that's how it would go. In other words, first you would talk to Radhanath Maharaj, right? Then after that, then you talk to the government minister. Then after that, then your uncle, you know, and then after that, then the rich guy. Then after that, all the other guys that happen to be hanging around, because they know there's a lot of powerful people there. Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Samaveta
Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.